You'll turn back to Exodus chapter 25. This morning we're returning to our series in the book of Exodus, and we're picking up where we left off last year. The people of Israel are at Mount Sinai. The book of Exodus falls into three main geographical areas. We begin in Egypt, where God's people are slaves. That covers chapters 1 to 13. And then we have God's people on the move up out of Egypt, going through the wilderness in chapters 14 to 18. And then from chapter 19 to the end of the book of Exodus, we have the main section, God's people at Mount Sinai. It's the main section, and yet it's also probably the least well-known section. For the next 22 chapters, everything else is taking place at Mount Sinai. And this is important if we're to understand God's word as his story or his history of redemption. This is God's working of salvation. We too were slaves in Egypt, slaves in sin. That's where we were, outside of God's grace. And it took a mighty working of God to bring about our salvation through the Passover Lamb, Jesus Christ. And then we are those who are heading to somewhere special. We are then on a journey, traveling. And we are headed to God's dwelling place. We are going to the place where we will meet with God and be with God. We are created to glorify him, worship him forever. Chapters 19 to 24 have given us the law. We looked at that last year. And now in chapters 25 to 40, we come to consider the tabernacle. Remember, we are reading the history of salvation. God is teaching us how we are to be saved and what it means to be saved. And that brings us to this strange tent that God told Moses to build, this tabernacle. We could easily skip over this section without giving it too much thought. Because what does a dusty old tent over 2,000 miles away, over 3,000 years ago, have to do with us today? Many people have skipped over this passage in Exodus, and they view a series of sermons on this passage in Exodus as something that could be irrelevant. But because this is God's history of salvation, and because God has set aside the majority of the book of Exodus for the details of the tabernacle, then perhaps there's something more important in this for us. God spent 40 days telling Moses how he was to build the tabernacle. God spent 6 days creating the world, and then 40 days telling Moses, this is how the people are to approach me. This is how you come into my dwelling place. Perhaps there's something more important in this dusty old tent over 2,000 miles away, over 3,000 years ago. We find these chapters filled full of details. They're details that are repeated for us. I want to just very briefly show you the beauty of the structure of this section in Exodus in chapters 25 to 40. In chapters 25 to 31, we have God setting out the instructions for building the tabernacle and its furniture. And it begins, God begins from the inside out. So we're told about the need of the heart for the people. And then we're brought into the Ark of the Covenant, which is in the Holy of Holies. And then we're taken to see the table and the lampstand. And then we have the bigger tabernacle and the courtyard, and the altar and the wash. So God begins in instructing Moses from the inside out. When they come to build the tabernacle from chapter 35 to 40, we see that the building work is carried out in a different order. It's not necessarily from the outside in, but it's in the order of the way things that should be created coming in. And God ends his instructions to Moses by setting out Sabbath regulations. There's a day of rest. So God gives his instructions. And the last thing he says to Moses is, there's a day of rest. When they come to build, the first thing that Moses says is, there's a day of rest. The rest is important. There's a section that falls in between the construction, chapters 32 to 34. And it's where the people build a golden calf. Moses comes down from the mountain, smashes the stone tablets. You might be aware of it. And Moses then cries out for the people because God says, I'm not going to allow them to enter my rest. I won't let them dwell with me. So Moses steps forward as an intercessor. We see the people's need for an intercessor. So we have a beautiful structure. God giving the instructions, finishing with a rest. And then in the middle we have the people can't approach God. They need an intercessor. And then we have them building, beginning with rest, but finishing with God's glory appearing. There's a beautiful structure. We won't go any further into that. But God is saying here, this is how you are to approach me. This is how you can come into my presence. And God is giving instructions. In this tent, God was coming down in a special way. And God was living amongst his people, dwelling amongst his people. God says, I'm going to be going with you. The tent was movable. They could pack it up and carry it on to the next stage in the journey. So we come to look at the tabernacle. We come to consider how we can approach God and what it means to approach God and the cost of approaching God. And we come to look at how we can dwell with God and what it means to be in God's presence. There's so much that we can learn from this dusty old tent over 2,000 miles away. Over 3,000 years ago, because it all points us to Jesus Christ, our Savior, the one through whom we approach, the one in whom we have an intercessor, the one who gives us rest. We begin this morning with two verses from chapter 25, verses 8 and 9. Let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell in their midst. Exactly as I show you concerning the pattern of the tabernacle and of all its furniture, so you shall make it. That I may dwell in their midst. That could be the title for our series of sermons. It's the title of our sermon this morning. That I may dwell in their midst. God has a purpose. God's purpose is to be dwelling with his people. To have his people with him in his midst. And he sets out firstly the pattern to follow. The pattern to follow. When a building is constructed, it follows the design or the blueprint of the architect, his plan. And the same is true for the tabernacle. But this tent isn't the invention of man. Its designer and its architect is God. Look at verse 9. Exactly as I show you concerning the pattern of the tabernacle and of all its furniture, so you shall make it. God is instructing Moses to follow the exact model that he shows Moses. Every detail, every measurement, every type of material. It all had to be according to the plan and the pattern that God set down. If you turn to Hebrews chapter 8, the writer to the Hebrews in chapter 8 and verse 5 stresses this point well. There's going to be a couple of verses for us to look at in Hebrews, so it will be useful to have your Bible open there. Hebrews 8. I trust that we will get to know chapters 8, 9, and 10 very well, because it's part of the reading that I hope that you do at home, either in your quiet time or family worship, reading through these three chapters. But for now, look at Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5. When Moses was about to erect the tent, he was instructed by God, saying, "See that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain." God says, "I have a pattern. I have a plan. You're to follow it exactly." But what is the pattern? Where does this pattern come from? Well, look at the first half of verse 5 of Hebrews 8. All of these things, God says, serve a copy and a shadow of the heavenly things. God says, what I am instructing you to build is a pattern of a heavenly reality. What I am commanding you to do is the outline or the shadow of something that is true in heaven. Look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself. Christ has entered the true thing. The tabernacle and all of its furniture, it has its reality in heaven. They have their reality in the spiritual truths. These plans are a copy of heavenly things. The tabernacle is not the first time that God has dwelt with his people. Go back to the Garden of Eden. It was always God's plan to dwell with his people. Adam and Eve, they enjoyed fellowship with God. We'll perhaps note some of this, but it's interesting as we go through the tabernacle that parts of the tabernacle reflected the Garden of Eden. That there's a lot of creation imagery that's there. We'll be touching on some of that. In Eden, God's plan, God's purpose, the pattern set out is fellowship with his people. His promise to Abraham was the promise, "I will be your God. You will be my people." The pattern, the plan, it was dwelling with Abraham. When God called the people of Israel up out of Egypt, it was so that they might come and worship him, be with him. God's pattern is one of fellowship. It's one of coming together. It's one of God being in the midst of his people. Later, the temple, which was built by Solomon, it was the place where God would be with his people. We read in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 19. David says, "All this he made clear to me in writing from the hand of the Lord, all the work to be done according to the plan." God dwelling with his people. This is God's purpose. It's the pattern that God sets out. It's every detail is for God to be amongst his people, to be fellowshipping. And of course, all of this points us to Jesus Christ. We'll be considering this more in a moment. He is the one who came and tabernacled amongst his people. For us today, the church today, we are the dwelling place of God by the Holy Spirit in us, working in us. We are the tabernacle of Christ. This is where we're headed for all eternity, the dwelling place of God. This is God's plan, God's pattern of salvation, of redemption. The plan that has always been in place. This is the heavenly reality. God loves dwelling with his people. God longs for the dwelling of his people. God has set out the salvation for the dwelling of his people. This is what God has set in place. And now he is saying to Moses, this is how it's to be done. Every detail, every measurement, every piece of material, this is here so that you may know how you may dwell with me. The heavenly reality is God's people dwell with God. And God says, this is how it's going to be accomplished. As I was talking to the children, there was one door, one gateway into the tabernacle. There was an altar of sacrifice. There was a place of washing. There was the very presence of God. God's plan and purpose is the dwelling of his people, all the way from Eden through to glory. And now with the tabernacle, God is sending down this pattern from heaven. He's saying to Moses, this is what it means to dwell with me. This is what it's going to cost you to dwell with me. Or more to the point, God is saying, this is what it's going to cost me to dwell with you. There's the fence, the door, the altar, the basin, the priests, the bread, the light, the veil, the mercy seat, the Ark of the Covenant, God's very presence, all a picture or a pattern of a heavenly reality. God dwelling with his people. As we look at this dusty old tent, 2,000 miles away, 3,000 years ago, we're looking at what it means to dwell with God. And surely that is more relevant than anything else. The pattern to follow. But then secondly, pointing to Jesus. Pointing to Jesus. Back to chapter 25 of Exodus. In verse 8 we are told that this is going to be a sanctuary. And the word sanctuary refers to a place of holiness, a place set apart. It's a place where holiness dwells. God's holiness is going to be there in their midst. In verse 9, we are told that it's going to be a tabernacle. The word tabernacle is a tent. And that has real earthiness to it. The people of Israel, they lived in tents. Their tents set around the whole tabernacle in order. And so as they looked at the tabernacle of God, they were saying, God has come down to be like us. Just as we live and dwell in tents, so God has lowered himself to be like us. God is saying, I am going to be with you. It's a tabernacle. God, who is altogether holy, has come down and has pitched his tent among his people. The people could look at their tabernacle and they could say, Emmanuel, God with us. When we come to the New Testament, we read in John chapter 1, verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. The word dwelt in Hebrews 1 or John 1:14, it means to pitch a tent. It means to tabernacle. John is saying Jesus has come down and he has tabernacled amongst us. The Holy One has come down and made himself like us. He has taken a tent like ours. And everything in this tabernacle points us to Jesus Christ. He is the only way in. the door. He is the one who was tied to the very horns of the altar. We sing from Psalm 118, bind to the altar's horns with cords the sacrifice, that the altar had horns on it. The animal was tied to the horns. When Jesus was singing that psalm, he sang it just before he was going to the Garden of Gethsemane. He sang, bind to the horns of the altar with cords the sacrifice. The altar speaks of Jesus Christ, the one who died for sin. He's the one whose blood was sprinkled on that wonderful Day of Atonement. The temple curtain, and there was a curtain in the tabernacle that separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place. It was torn in two. Access has been opened. Everything speaks of Jesus Christ, our great high priest. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places. Jesus is the greater and more perfect tent. He is the dwelling of God among man. He is the access for us to come into God's presence. Everything about this tabernacle speaks of Jesus Christ. And so, friends, we have to see Christ in the tabernacle. Otherwise, as we go through the series, we're just going to be looking at shadows and pictures. And what we must do more than just see Jesus Christ in the tabernacle is we have to realize we must enter in. Here is the one who gives me access into God's presence. Here is the one who has died for me, tied to the horns of the altar. Here is the one whose blood was shed. Here is the one through whom I'm made clean. Here is my great high priest. Here is the one who's the light of the world. Here is the one who's the bread of life. Here is the one who is the great intercessor and whose prayers of intercession have opened up the living way that I can approach, that I can draw near. Here is the one who sits enthroned between the cherubim. Here is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Here is the tent. Here is my access. And if we can't reach that point in Jesus Christ, then what we do is pointless. Do you want to dwell with God? Do you want to have an eternal dwelling place with God the Father? Do you want forgiveness of sin? Do you want new life? We must do more than just see Jesus Christ in the tabernacle. We must approach. We must draw near. Through him, through our great high priest, there is salvation in no one else. Revelation chapter 21, verse 22 says, and I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. God's dwelling with us into eternity. It's not necessarily the place that we're looking forward to. It's not a temple, a tabernacle to come to. There is the physical new heavens and new earth. Ultimately, it's Jesus Christ. God's dwelling with me for all eternity is Jesus Christ. The tabernacle points us to him. This is not a dusty old tent, but it's speaking about our Savior. It's telling us more about Jesus Christ. It's giving us the way into the presence of God through Jesus Christ. It's pointing us to our eternal rest in Jesus Christ. Points us to Jesus. God in our midst. It's a pattern that God has set. God is saying it's a heavenly reality that I'm setting out before you. It's seen through Jesus Christ. It points us to your Savior. And then thirdly and lastly, it's a picture of heaven. It is a picture of heaven. We touched briefly on it. The tabernacle, it was a portable sanctuary that visibly displayed God's presence among his people. It has its fulfillment in Jesus Christ, the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. But it also does point us to our eternity. The Garden of Eden restored. The new heavens and the new earth, where we are going to enjoy this fellowship and dwelling with God without the hindrance of sin, without the tears, without the effects of a decaying body, everything made new. And the tabernacle was pointing or a picturing for the people a rest, a dwelling, an abiding in God. And for us, we know that is for all eternity. Back to Revelation 21, in verse 2 and verse 10, it says, "The holy city, the new Jerusalem, comes down out of heaven from God. This city is not of this earth, but its origin is heavenly. It comes out of heaven from God." Doesn't that sound like the language of the building of the tabernacle? We have it repeated in Revelation. And yet it's a heavenly reality. God's dwelling for all eternity. And then in verse 3 of Revelation 21. "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man." That's tabernacle language. Our future eternity is dwelling with God forever. And it's patterned on the tabernacle. God said, "Build me a sanctuary that I may dwell in their midst." God's giving us a picture of what's to come. The reality is, we will dwell with God. He will be in our midst for all eternity. Our eternal dwelling place. And so as we look at the tabernacle, we are speaking of eternal matters. We'll be considering what's to come for the believer, for all those who are in Jesus Christ. Restored fellowship with God, full restoration. And my prayer is that through these sermons on the tabernacle, through this last section of Exodus, as you read it at home, as you digest it, as you do the further reading and engage our minds and our hearts, that we will realize we are headed to an eternal dwelling with God. My prayer is that these sermons will help to give us a greater understanding of that, and that it will stir up within our hearts the desire of the psalmist that we've been singing about this morning. Oh, to dwell with God, to be in his courts, to spend one day in God's courts, far better than 1,000 elsewhere. And as we look at the tabernacle, I want us to see that this is all in Jesus Christ. The access to God, the sacrifice that brings atonement, the way that's opened through our high priest. I want us to have a hunger for dwelling with God, being with him for all eternity. I want you to be praying that through this series, that God will be stirring up within us a hungering for his dwelling, an understanding of his dwelling in Christ, and a looking forward to that eternal dwelling in our Savior. Amen.